Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here. And I left my good fire, and I left that knot burning in there to get even with it for trying to get even with me. But the Lord has blessed me truly early this year, and I have gotten feeling somewhat better, and it seems like all my little intricacies that I had with my kidney stone is about to get away and take care of itself, hopefully. And
that's a big blessing.
So that's a victory right there, and I think the Lord has blessed me with that. Now, to get back to our study, in Acts 20, and Acts 20 is a pretty good sized chapter, and when we got involved in the book of Acts, and Paul was there, and of course, he struck a bad chord with those people there because of the goddess Diana that they was worshiping what I would call something that wasn't a god, but she claimed to be. The story had brought it up.
False god.
They were, and a lot of people were doing these things about doing these shrines for her. And that got to be a big thing, and of course, Paul took a good bit of guff from them people on that thing, and so when he got ready to leave, he wanted to go back to Jerusalem, to be there, because he wanted to be there at Passover, and he also had taken a vow. And, he had decided to go, but what we talked about last week was a kind of it was kind of like he was watching a cloak and dagger thing on television or in a movie or something, because these people that were dealing with Paul and moving him from place to place, and Paul wanted to go back to Jerusalem, but he didn't want to go back to Ephesus. But so they did some swapping around and going from place to place, and it was kind of like they were putting up a front for Paul to go in a way that nobody would know he was involved in this trip.
Kind of go incognito.
Yeah, and he had done that. So this is where we're going to pick up with tonight. And so this will be the end of that part of it, but it begins another part of this thing, too, because it gives you the understanding that Paul was near to Ephesus, but he was at Miletus. And he didn't want to go there in person because he knew the people were still in an uproar because he hadn't been gone a week. And so, and he had went from ship to ship and had walked for a distance and done all this. And these guys did what they needed to do for Paul so he could take whatever he was carrying with him, they could do it for him and all this kind of stuff. And so they made it to Miletus. And we're going to pick up with verse 17 in chapter 20. And we're going to go as far as our time allotment will let us do this. But this is it. And I'm going to read verse 16 again. It says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia full stop, for he had hasted as if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so they had made this trip from where they were and had got back close. And so Paul said, okay, while I'm at Miletus here, I'm going to send for them, but I'm going to let them come to me.
Yep.
And I thought that was a grand way of looking at it, because I think even Paul at this time, he had about 10 years left in his journey. I don't know where he knew that or not, but the word and the notes in the thing tells us that, well, he had about 10 more years left. And he didn't know how long it was going to take him to get to Rome and to take care of his business there and how that was going to go. So he said, well, I'll just send for them and have their main people to come there, and we'll talk it over, and they can go back home, and I can go on my journey. And so this, I thought that was a grand way to do that, because it looked to me like Paul had had enough problems in all these other places he had been, and all the things he had been involved in, and he had been in prison, they had caught him and gave him 39 stripes, and even his countrymen wanted to do him in because they didn't agree with what he was preaching and teaching. And so, let's go to 17, and it says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the assembly or the church. So, this was the idea. Now, whether it was the Holy Spirit doing this or where it was Paul doing this by the urge of the Holy Spirit or what, I don't know, but it doesn't make any difference in that situation. It was the fact that the word of God was still being spread, and Paul had great feelings for these people for the last 2 years and 3 months or something that he had been with them all total. And now he was somewhere else, you know, and had been somewhere else for a little while. But here they are. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders. See, he didn't go himself. He sent those in his entourage that were helping him get from place to place. Okay. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Now let's break that down a little bit, because this is something that the people he's talking to now are friends, evidently. And so in that situation, these back and forth deals that they're talking about here, both sides knew kind of where the other side stood. But Paul wanted to assure them that what he knew at that point and what he had in his mind and in his heart through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and from the direction that he got from the Godhead there, that he wanted to make quite clear that he was leaving, but he was Not, they're not going to see him anymore. But he had put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of substance in his ministry there. And it was something that was truly on his mind, because he knew what he did before he was dropped on the Damascus Road and blinded. And he knew the situation after that. And he still had that within him that he didn't want to go off in a bad situation. Because he knew what his job was now. And he was going to fulfill that job regardless of what it took to do it. Because he did for the Godhead what the Godhead didn't let the Son do while the Son was here in the 3 years that he was ministering on the earth.
For us Gentiles.
Yes.
That's very specific.
Yeah. And so
the sufferings that were behind
the things that went on, you know, it was put upon Paul because I didn't have to do it and you didn't have to do it. It was something that you and I could not do. But Paul took that upon himself through the auspices of the Godhead in order to take care of business.
For the church.
And he did it.
Yeah.
And he did it. And he did it. And he said in more than one place, whether I live or whether I die, it's God that gets the glory.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let's break it down just a little bit. He said, and when they were come to him, this was the ones from Ephesus, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia. He didn't waste one day when he got there to Ephesus and to the Ephesian people. He went straight in and started teaching and preaching to them. After he said, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what day that I came into Asia, and after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, meaning whether it was bad weather, whether it was good weather, whether it was warm or whether it was cold, Paul was there to do a job and to establish this assembly.
Yep.
And that he done.
He said, you know what I'm all about. Yep. Day one.
Yep. Okay. Some of the words there said when they came to, and to come to, and the Greek is the word pros, P-R-O-S, pros. And he said unto them, you know. And that no there in the Greek is epistemei, from the first day that, or from which I come to Asia. And to come to Asia is the Greek word epibeno. And epibeno is part of that what manner I have been with you at all seasons, or in another way of putting it in the English, is all the time. All the time that he spent there. Good, bad, or ugly. All the time that he spent there. He didn't waste any of that time not doing what he was supposed to do. And that's, I think that is a great testimony to the Apostle Paul for being that There's a word that we used to call Paul, that he didn't back away from anything. He was a gung-ho man.
Yeah, very headstrong.
And so this provides that view or that look, if you will, to it. Okay, verse 19. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So, they never let up on him. There was always somebody somewhere had something against what he had said or spoke about, and they wanted to bring it up, and they wanted to make a big deal out of it. And so Paul, to live a life like that, and for all those years, I don't see how he stood it, really. Yeah, I mean, it took the leadership of the Holy Spirit within him in a great way in order for him to overcome these
things. Amen. I believe that too.
Because even Peter says in places, he said, I hear Paul, but there's a lot of things I don't understand about what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well, this was basically the Jewish ideas quite often, because Peter was a Jew of the Jew if there was one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it says serving. That is the Greek word, doulelio, the word serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And the humility of mind in the Greek is, I don't know if I can pronounce this or not, even where we can understand it, it's Taperino Ferosuni. Taperino Ferosuni. Pretty long word, but it's Taperino Ferosuni. That's the best way I can get it. And with many tears and temptations, which befell me. And temptations there, of course, tears were his own way of showing that things hurt him as well as it did other people.
Yeah, he's still human being.
Yeah. The temptations are trials. And it seems like Paul goes from one trial to another trial. That somebody is always wanting to judge him for what he is saying, because what he is saying is the latest word from the Godhead. Wow. Think about that. Trials. And the lying of wait. And that's plots. You know, if you plot to do something, if you think about doing something, that's one thing. But if you come up with a way of doing it, and you get yourself involved in it, that's like thinking about robbing a bank. Well, thinking about robbing a bank may not be against the law. But if you start plotting it, then you might as well have already done it, because that's what you're going to be charged with. And so if you think in those terms, as we might think about it, you see, the plotting is part of the whole deal. Because if you're laying in wait for the Jews, they weren't there to go on a picnic with you. They weren't there to go on a picnic with Paul. I can say that, I think, and be honest about the whole thing. you just, you see, it just keeps building. It keeps building with him. And it's like you never get any relief. I don't see how Paul ever got any relief. And now we know, looking back in his life, that all this is going on here with 10 years left down the road before he's going to be gone. Verse 20. And Paul says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house."
Very important verse.
Absolutely.
If he had known about the mystery at the time that he wrote this and not told them, then that would not be a valid statement.
Yeah.
But he didn't get the mystery until way after that.
Right.
He had to write back to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until the Ephesians about the
mystery. He's talking to them here, but then he wrote back to them
later. Yeah. After Acts 28.
Absolutely. So, he said, "Then how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you."
Because the truth of the mystery is certainly profitable.
Yeah. It was more profitable than what?
Than anything they had ever heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Paul himself said that he looked at what the Jews had been promised and he counted that but dumb.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why this is such an important verse.
Oh boy. Yeah. You know, if you, when he gets to Rome, and the Philippians have got him a house to live in, got him a place to stay for a couple of years, and he understood that, but he wanted that Anastasia. He wanted that out resurrection more than anything else. And he looked at it and he said, "Well, all this other stuff is, it's just stuff I could leave in the bathroom somewhere."
Yeah.
Oh, mercy. "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you." See, Paul's eyes might not have been the best in the world because of what had happened to him. But he says, "When I show you something, if I can see it, I know you can see it." See? Because he couldn't see very well. But to show somebody something, you've got to see it and allow them to see it as you see it. And this is another thing that we don't think about quite often.
Yeah, he gave them everything he had to give them at the time based on what he knew at the time. Yeah.
He said, "What I have showed you and have taught you." Not only that, but he made himself the example of that by allowing them to see what he was telling them was truth. Publicly. And he did it publicly. Not only did he do it in the synagogue, but he went from house to house doing it. He went from wherever he could get the word in edgewise, he did it.
A lot of times to his own demise.
Right.
Get him in trouble. Yeah.
See, we just talked about him preaching till midnight and this kid fell out of the wall.
Yeah.
But that was the man that Paul was. He said it from house to house. If he got invited into anybody's house, they were going to hear the word. That was the reason he was there. That was the only reason he was there, because he was on God's time. He wasn't on his time. And I think he made that quite clear to them too. Verse 21. testifying, listen to this, both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So it was, again, here, in here. It was to the Jew first.
And you remember what the first words concerning the kingdom were that came out of the Lord's mouth in Matthew 4, I believe? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Paul says he talked to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God.
Okay.
That's a very kingdom of heaven thing.
Right. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. So, you know, if this had been here in Acts 20, if Paul had said toward God and faith toward our Lord Christ Jesus, it wasn't that way. It was to Jesus, to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to the Lord Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Sorry, Tony, I was a chapter off. That's Matthew 3.
Okay.
Yeah, my whole brain don't work like it used to.
That's, I know what it means. I got the same problem. Testifying, both witnessing to the Jews and also witnessing to the Greeks, repentance. And repentance there in the Greek is meta noai. 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 Meta noai. Toward God. And toward God is the Greek word E-I-S. Yes. And faith. Faith is pistis. Toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, in my notes, I wrote this. Here, it is still to the Jew first. He hasn't, if he knows it, he hasn't been able to reveal it because it wasn't time. Everything is done on God's. It wasn't done on Paul's time. It was done on God's
time. Well, there had to be a setting aside of the target nation first.
Yeah.
And that happened at Acts 28:28.
Right. But, you know, we're looking at it now.
Easy to look back.
As it has happened, you know, we can easily look back and get this. But going where we're going to here now and doing what we're looking at now, we'll just leave it in the context that it's in. Verse 22, and it says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, full stop. With the Apostle Paul. It is not time to say, but now. He says, and now. Because the but now comes a little later in this new dispensation he's got. So he says, and now, as it starts in verse 22. Now, whether you pick up on it or not, you know, that's up to those that study the word and look and see. But this now is and now. It is not but now. Behold. And behold there in the Greek is Adon, Adelian, Adon. Behold, Adon, and now. Behold. And now behold, there is Epibol. So behold, there is the Greek Adon, and the other behold is Epibol. I go bound in the spirit. He is firmly resolved. His mind is made up and is like a steel trap. He knows what he has to do. Firmly resolved. And that Greek word is adiomai, unto Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that befall me there. Okay, so he doesn't know what is ahead of him at this point. He doesn't know how it's going to come out, and he don't know how long the time he's got left. Not at this point, because he can't say I got 10 years, because he didn't know when he was going to die. He didn't know when God was going to be done with him, if we call it that in that sense. So, but he did say this. Say this. The Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He did know that. And he could testify to that, and did testify to that, even when he wrote back to him. Because bonds and afflictions is still ahead of him. He's got a journey that he's going to be in a hurricane for 2 or 2.5 weeks. He's going to be on a ship that loses everything. They're going to have to ride a board to get onto the island that he winds up in. And then he's going to get snake bit on top of that. Say that. But only. That means. But only. In the English. And if you read it that way, it's but only that the Holy Ghost witnesses. And that witness there is equal to testify to me. So, the Holy Ghost testified to Paul and was with him in every city. And in every city in the Greek is Catapolin. Catapulting every city, saying that bonds and afflictions, and that is another Greek word called philipsis, abide. Bonds and afflictions abide. Doesn't let up, but they wait or remain for me. Bonds and afflictions. He says, I know this. I'm going to go there. There are going to be bonds and afflictions. But I go anyway. That's my journey. Say that. Or but that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, wherever the city was, whatever the name of it was, Bonds and afflictions awaiteth me. Boy, that was a true statement if it was ever made by a man concerning God's word. He said, but none of these things, verse 24, move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Because any way you look at it, the gospel, the good news, is always the grace of God. Now, he might come with words to begin with, but if he comes with words to begin with that it affects mankind, he's certainly going to come back and take care of whatever that was to mankind. Because if Jesus Christ, or if God sends part of the Godhead there to do something, when God speaks, or he appears to someone to sin, or to do something, then he is going to come back when the finish takes place. Because if you see him one time, you're going to see him again. That's the way God works. Because when he comes to make these agreements with these people, if you do this, I'll do this. Well, he is talking to them as one-on-one, really, but it may be in one to a group. But then the group needs to do whatever it was that they were supposed to do. And when they said, we'll do it, and didn't do it then, they were in trouble. Because in the 40 years in the wilderness, when you go back to Hebrews, and Paul is talking to these Hebrew people, most of them, not all of them, I don't think, but most of them were young, less than 40 years old, or around, that on down, because their parents had given them life. They could have been a little older than, they could have been young kids when they started out on the journey, as far as that goes. But those that murmured against God for not giving them what they thought was the right stuff to eat, or to have the water or the fluid that they needed on their journey, or to do any of these other things that they were to do, when they murmured against God, guess what? The ground opened up and swallowed them up. These young people, a lot of them saw their parents die that way, alive. They were buried alive because they had murmured against God. Well, you don't murmur against God and get away with it.
Not in that dispensation. Huh? Not in that dispensation.
No, not at that time.
Yep.
This was something that we could sit here and talk about these things, but to get this understanding that we're looking at here, Paul don't have the whole answer himself yet. And certainly, we can look back and we can find a lot of these answers that we need to know and to realize and to understand. Well, that would have been a hard thing to do. But that was a lesson that they would be on their mind for the rest of their life. Mom and dad, mother and father, is a possession and a prize that if you don't have them anymore, you can't get it back. That's just the way it is. You can't get them back. But you hope you wish you could. We always wish you could. My wife, you know, with all the ills and the things she had that she couldn't do or couldn't make work or whatever, it was, you know, the wish is still there that I had her back, regardless.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Because the vow was, the uchi was, for death do we part. And so that, we had no control over that part of it, basically. But that's the way it was. Now, where'd we get to? He said, none of these things move me. 25. Let me turn the page.
The bonds and afflictions, I believe, yeah.
Well, I got part of it on one page and part of it on another. He said, but none of these things move me. I do not change. Paul says, I don't change. I am on a course. This is my course. I'm staying on course. Neither Udi. Neither is Udi. Can't. I can't even read my own writing. Or whole. Can't could be whole. I, my life, dear, or precious. Paul didn't look at himself as having something precious. Because he said, whether I live or whether I die, the glory goes to the Father. The glory goes to him that sent me. So I can't look and say my life's precious, because it's only by him that I'm precious, if that's the case. Unto myself. And myself in the Greek is timios. So that I might finish and the word finish in there is the word in the Greek teleu. And teleu means perfect. My course is perfect. And here's the note I put in here, because it was in the companion side of the Bible. 10 more years are to pass for Paul at that point. And you can omit that with joy, because the only thing that would bring him joy at that point would be peace. And I don't think a dead man knows peace until he is brought forth in newness again, then he might look back upon it as being a peaceful time. So that with joy had been added there.
Another gift of the translators.
And I think that's the reason that we see it that way. And I think that's a pretty good thing. Because I don't remember mentioning or understanding this as we did it in other times. It says, and the ministry which I have received of or from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel or the good news of the grace of God. So the gospel is always good news because God had made it so that it would work to renew those things that needed to be redone in order that God might be all and in all, because they were the sinful things that we had to put up with and do all that stuff. Then we get to verse 25. About done. Not quite, but about done. It says, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. And so I believe Paul was in tears again about this time, because when he's looking at them people face to face, and he says, I'm going to walk away from here, and you're not going to see me anymore. And now behold, I know that ye all among, even whom I have gone, and that Greek word is diarochomai, preaching. That word is caruso, the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And I could put all that, started to, but I didn't know. I said, well, if they believe what he is going to tell them later on, or what he knows later on, then they might certainly see his face again.
Yeah.
But not, no more is not in this life. I could have put that in my notes, but I didn't do it. Verse 26. Wherefore? 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day. Okay. What does that mean? I take you to record. He says, I am witnessed to by you. I have heard what you have said. See, he's talking to them. We're only getting one side of this conversation. But he says, by your witness, even Paul could read, I think, people's faces, or read their composition of their body, their way of
body language,
yeah, getting around. And it says, so I am witnessed to by you, whether you're talking or whether you're not. And that, in the Greek, that is martyromai. This day, that I am pure. And I am pure there as in the day today from the blood of all men. He says, I'm pure from the blood of all men. I have told you everything I can tell you.
Yeah. His conscience was clear, as was his responsibility.
Right. Yeah. And he said, I have seen your body language. You have witnessed to me.
And there again, if he had known and was holding back the mystery, he could not have said that.
No.
Yeah. He didn't know it. No way he could.
Right.
Yeah.
See, so that...
He literally told them everything God gave him to tell.
He laid it all out on the table, yeah. So to speak.
I believe that.
Verse 27. We're going to quit because time is up. He says, for I have not shunned or shrunk.
Oh, another big one.
Yeah. I have not shunned or shrunk. And that Greek word is hupostello, which means to keep back. So this is the famous last word that I look at. For I have not shunned or shrunk, hupostello. I have not kept back to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so this study here, to me, is one of the better studies that took place in the book of Acts, because this was heart to heart, face to face, person to person, the speaking earnestly one to another.
And Paul being as absolute honest with them as he could.
Yeah.
And he hated the fact that he wasn't going to see them again.
Yeah.
I know he did.
Yeah. So he had spent a lot of time with them.
Yeah. He loved these people. Just like he did the Philippians.
And look at the deal about having to do all this stuff to kind of maybe not sneak around, but to move around in a situation where he could get this job done. I don't call it sneaking around, because he had to protect himself. He had as much right to protect himself as anybody did. But we'll leave it at that. And certainly I tried to explain it in a way that I could feel like that I could make it kind of come to life to you. But what he said, how he said it, and how he did it, and how he put forward, and he kept it in the kingdom's work rather than in another dispensation. It was the words of the kingdom.
He gave him everything he knew about what God gave him.
Absolutely.
The fact was that God hadn't given him everything yet that he was going to give him.
No.
Yeah. We're looking at a snapshot in time right here during the Acts period.
Yeah, he hadn't.
Knowing that more things are to come for Paul.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of like we used to go to the movie show, and they had a big scenario going on about chapters. And as a kid, you know, you'd watch it. They'd pick up from last week because they wanted you there the next weekend. And they done it by chapters, and this is kind of like what Paul was doing here.
Yeah.
He's going back to those chapters that he did. And then he would give you a little more and then put you back and keeping you hanging. It might have been holding on to a rope on a bridge that went across the chasm or something.
The literal cliffhanger?
Yeah, to see if you were going to would come back and find out what happened next week.
Yeah.
But this was Paul's life. And it wasn't meant to be a cliffhanger, but somehow it kind of got to be, because these people wouldn't believe what he was saying. And so how great a way that we've got it there, and how great it is that we can look at it and look at it in in a way that we kind of say, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. We understand this. We know this, that, and the other. And this is the way it works. And I'm so glad that he was able to do it that way, too, because it makes you continue to look and study and look at these things. And I like to do notes because I go back to my notes and look at it and say, oh, okay. This, you know, I understand this a little better this way. This is how I did it. But this is my thing. I might be a little short on some of the things that I look at sometimes. And sometimes I get myself in a big deal and go off on something.